Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio Scene, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Oh my lord. We fixed it. We fixed
and
it in
fast.
The night. Yeah.
Faster than
anything. Well, I think I don't want to say but
I don't
apple pie.
Say it.
Apple pie.
Yeah, that's true. We did have a little
we did a celebratory shot of whiskey.
It was nice.
We did for Papa Star. Yeah. And we could help us get through this taking under 3 hours please. Or 45 minutes later.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that
it? Like 47 minutes.
Okay. Nice.
Welcome to Weedsday Wednesday. It's January 25th. Welcome.
Bellstar.
I'm sorry, I'm talking about whiskey on Weedsday Wednesday.
Yeah, sorry.
It happens. Sometimes it happens. You just got to go where you're going. Bellstar. Well, welcome. We had a great show this morning. We have LEAP, Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Wow.
That's a good one, Bell.
I had to practice that a lot.
Say that fast.
Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Law Enforcement Action Partnership. LEAP. They're just going to leap it out. LEAP is, they're fantastic. They just changed their name. It was Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, but now it's Law Enforcement Action Partnership. So they just changed their name, and we get a retired police officer on our show this morning, and we're excited about that because there's a lot going on in the world, and we want to talk to Mr. Jack Wilburn. He's retired, Officer Jack. But we want to kind of start out with what's happening in our local newspaper here. We have the Tucson Weekly we're going to do a little reading from. And this one is called Pre-Rolled Legislation. Pot bills get another shot at becoming law. And this is by Nick Myers. This is the Tucson Weekly, our little local fanzine, magazine.
Yes,
it's almost
yes.
turned into a fanzine.
All the entertainment and everything
yeah.
that's going on.
Yeah, and then,
it,
you know, the dispensaries, some of the dispensaries are in here with different ads, we've got Desert Bloom has a patient appreciation week coming up. Check it out. Maybe get a horoscope or two. Mm-hmm. What does it say? The Arizona Legislature kicked off its 53rd session last week, bringing with it the possibility for some changes to the state's marijuana laws. Democratic Rep. Mark Cardenas from Phoenix introduced two bills related to marijuana, a legalization effort, HB 2003, and the more hopeful loosening of penalties for possession in HB 2002. Cardenas' bills aim for some familiar aspects of Prop 205, Arizona's failed marijuana legalization ballot initiative. Perhaps bolstered by the small margin by which Prop 205 fell, Cardenas' bills are getting more attention than they have the previous 2 years that he submitted similar legislation. While neither has even seen a committee hearing in previous years, HB 2002 may have some renewed consideration since ending felony punishment for marijuana possession was one of Prop 205's biggest and most supported selling points. Arizona is currently the only state which possession of amounts as small as a joint could land you in an ever tighter joint. That was a change that backers of Prop 205 hope to bring about with the initiative, but may get a second chance at it in this legislature. HB 2002 would make possession under an ounce a $100 civil penalty, anything under 2 pounds a petty offense, and anything more than that a Class 3 misdemeanor. Roughly 15,000 Arizonans are arrested under marijuana possession charges each year. That's a lot. While not all of those get charged as a felony, the state certainly has that power. Usually it's left up to the discretion of the prosecuting attorney and may be subject to three-strike rules. Cardenas' bill would get rid of the possibility of harsher sentencing and introduce some uniformity to the way of marijuana arrest as handled in Arizona. House Judiciary Committee Chair Eddie Farnsworth, a Republican from Gilbert, has apparently expressed support for decriminalization and may provide a crucial ally as a committee chair and in gaining support from across the aisle, a crucial element in the Republican-controlled legislature. HB 2003 is a long shot, not only because of Arizona's deeply Republican-controlled legislature, but because no state legislature has ever legalized marijuana.
All right. Excuse me. All states that have currently legalized marijuana for recreational use did so through citizens' ballot initiatives. For a legislature to pass legislation would be a first, though not everyone is happy with the way Arizona's ballot initiatives have been going lately. Some legislators seek to challenge the rules governing citizen-led ballot initiatives, which could upset future pushes for marijuana legalization in the coming years. While they seem to be more upset by Arizona's increasing the minimum wage, Prop 205 certainly would have been lumped in there, and had it passed, proposed change would increase requirements on registering signatures collectors require a certain percentage of signatures from rural counties and give legislatures more power to change ballot initiatives after they've passed. Citing that citizens aren't aware of the permanence of past proposals, a final bill that merits mention is the SB 1045 from Senator Sonny Borrell, a Lake Havasu City Republican, who wants to disarm laws surrounding to hemp. Borrell's bill would legalize marijuana plants with less than 0.3% THC as a boost for Arizona's textile farmers. While the textile industry hasn't been as adamantly opposed to legalization as alcohol or pharmaceutical interests, the legalization of hemp has the ability to disrupt the market in much the same way. Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery has raised issue with this bill over concerns of how officers would tell the difference between marijuana grown from hemp and marijuana grown for consumption. Borrell replied, "Matter of a fact that you can tell by the shape of the leaf itself." So, you know, I see this as more education is going to need to be done for law enforcement. And so this is really great, because this is one of the things is, what are some of the things that are being offered to law enforcement?
Right.
Officers, I mean, firefighters, everyone EMTs need to understand what it does to the system. And, I mean, do they need to be taught personally? Raphael Machula?
Right. I mean, Raphael, can you come here, please? Raphael.
Excuse me, Rafi.
Yeah.
We've got some EMTs that need some doctors. We got some nurses. You know, and I know that there are the nursing academies that are taking in. I remember when we were at Patients at a Time, mm-hmm. and how many nurses and doctors there could be there and actually count this as continuing education.
Oh, absolutely.
So
that was amazing.
Which
that was intense education.
Oh my gosh, some of that stuff.
Yeah. I sat there going,
Google
stuff down to check later because I couldn't.
Yeah, I have a notebook filled from those things. But back to just knowing the education and knowing that there is a large group, there's a large number of people here in the United States that really have no idea.
Right.
You know, and it, yes, it's getting that pass, but there's that science side. There's that pharma technology, that the chemicals and what it does in our bodies and things
right.
like that. You know, one of the things we were talking about this morning, Belle, was the different strains that we use, and we're, the one that we're using this morning.
Right. We love.
We love.
Blue cheese is our new favorite.
And it really, I've been pain has encroached me in the last 3 weeks. No, it's actually been the first of the year. Actually, since Christmas, I should not even
just
say. So I've had a sciatic attack.
Yeah.
That has been going on for probably about a little over a month now. And this is one of the only strains that I've had actually take away the amount of pain that I was suffering from. So what I find from this strain is that blue cheese, it is a indica crossed with a crossing of blueberry male, which is an original from UK cheese, and skunk number one phenotype female.
Oh, no wonder.
The sweet and savory smells of berry and blue cheese combine to create a creamy, unique flavor reminiscent of the original cheese. The heavy indica effects will help you feel relaxed, and at the end of the day can provide relief of muscle spasms, pain, and stress. And I have to tell you, this, I've had a lot of strains, but I have never had a strain that can zap it as fast as this did. Yes, there are other strains, but I had to use more
mm-hmm.
to get to
that.
Where I needed to be.
And
to really get the pain relief.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm telling you, one bong hit off of this.
Yeah.
Snap. So I don't know if there could be...
What are the other characteristics of the other phenotypes?
So it doesn't... Well, it says skunk number one is one of the phenotypes. So it's blueberry, UK cheese, blueberry male, with original, which is the original UK cheese. Is that what it's saying?
Wow.
Skunk number one. And the smells of berries and blue cheese. So I'm thinking, you know, when you, I know this is the best way I can explain the way that a lot of these flavors are happening is when you take... if you like Jelly Bellies and you've ever done the recipes on the back of a Jelly Belly and you put two different jelly beans, which you don't even think that are going to taste that way when you put them in your mouth and you chew them up together, that's exactly what this is. It's with terpenoids, it's with flavonoids, it's actually being able to cross these and work with your senses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this plant is so evolved in what it does for you mentally, physically, and spiritually. I think it actually goes in a little bit deeper than that and also syncs up with your senses. So when I tell people when they're going to the dispensary for the first time, I say, you want to smell everything. Really get your body involved in the decision of this.
Your body will tell you what it likes.
Exactly. This one always goes back. It goes to Fruit Loops, Toucan Sam.
Yeah.
Follow your nose, you know, and it's with fruits, flavors, and all of these different things that are combined in these different strains. I mean, they go far back as rosemary, thyme, you know, all of these things. And it may not be that herb itself, but it is the terpenoid from that plant that has been bred into this over time. And that's why I say it's such a highly evolved plant, because it has so many different characteristics for the body to take in. And so as you're using these different strains for all these different parts of the body, you'll start noticing that some work faster, some work in a different characteristic. And it might be the characteristic that your body is needing to, you know, exude those that pain and actually not be able to feel what you're actually normally feeling. So when you're actually using these different strains, start using your nose and start looking at why is your body falling in love with this? And a great website to check out is Leafly.com.
Not Leafly.
Leafly. And it is Leafly.com. And you can type in your strain or just Google the strain that you are looking at the dispensary, and therefore you can actually get an idea of what it has in it when you're in there checking it out. So,
and you told them to look at stuff before they went, right?
Yeah, and yeah, check out their websites. A lot of these websites of the plants and about cannabis have these great sites that you can check out, and they usually have reviews of the dispensaries and reviews of the dispensaries, menus, their specials, first-time visitors, and all of these things you can just check out over and over and really get an idea of what you're going to buy before you get there. And then let your nose have that wander.
And go to Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. Come down and we will help you. We'll talk to you about all those strains, because for a lot of people, it's brand new and they get scared because mm-hmm. they don't know what's going to happen when they hit their bong, take their gummy, eat a brownie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, come down and we'll talk to you about that, and we'll try and dispel some myths and fears for you
mm-hmm.
so you can hit your bong properly.
And safely.
We are waiting right now for retired officer Jack Wilburn to come on air. We're just waiting for his call, the most exciting part of our show. So what did you tell our audience? Huh? To go to check Leafly out.
To check Leafly out, to know their strains, use their nose. I said there's a lot of different chemicals up in that plant.
Yeah, a lot of different fruity smells.
That make them feel the way they do. And I said some strains have, you know, different effects on the body and can get taken up faster.
And hopefully the, quote, bud tenders that are down there will be able to, I hate that term, but the people down there that are dealing with you and your medicine will be able to explain, because if you are new to this and you do not have what's called a caregiver, you have to go into these places by yourself. And that can be kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that with the lawsuit that's out right now, that maybe caregivers will be allowed to be a caregiver without a $200 fee, because that's pretty astronomical. On top of the $200 and almost $300 you're already paying for your part. It's scary to, you know, when you go to a pharmacy now, if you go get your Vicodin or your Oxy or your ibuprofen or whatever, you can take your person in and you can take your friend in or whoever, you can sit in the waiting room. Go talk to the pharmacist and leave. You don't have to go in a whole separate area.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that this kind of normalizes out like that, so it's not so scary for people, because, you know, people need some hand-holding going into this.
It's true.
You know, it's medicine, and, you know, we don't want accidents. You know, we don't want you to eat the whole brownie because you'll have the best night's sleep of your life, but, you know, might not wake up for 12 hours. Might be a little intimidating. So, be careful with your edibles out there. So while we're waiting for Mr. Jack to come on air, we can do a little bit of reading. If you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, we did post a picture of Mr. Jack. He looks really nice here. So we're waiting for him to come on. Glendale Police Department Reserves Peoria, retired officer Jack Wilburn. And I apologize for the text errors. Did you notice that? Did you see these? I don't know what's going on. When I copied it over from the site here, Jack Wilburn joined the Glendale Police Department as an officer. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get through this. In the mid 1980s, because he wanted his friends and family and neighbors through volunteer work in this department. Reserve officers perform nearly the same role as active duty police. Maybe he was undercover. Oh, Jack was an NRA and ALEOAC firearms instructor for most of his career with GPD. He photographed crime scenes, worked with the bomb squad, and assisted motorcycle officers with... truck enforcement. He also spent many hours working with young people, community service projects, which we were going to talk about the court systems too. Jack wholly enjoyed being a public servant, but he quickly realized that the war on drugs relied on false information. DEA officers believe myths about marijuana and other drugs that have been debunked. Jack retired from the reserves in 1993 for medical reasons, but he saw how arrests, specifically drug arrests, impacted people. Quote, I saw an 18-year-old arrested for possession of marijuana. I followed the case to see how it went, and it destroyed the young man's life, he said. LEAP, Law Enforcement Action Partnership, now as they're known, is a nonprofit organization composed of police, prosecutors, judges, and other criminal justice professionals who use their experience to advance drug policy and criminal justice reforms that improve public safety. With 150 speakers across the United States, LEAP representatives reach millions of Americans each year through educational programs and media interviews. They've been on quite a bit. And I like their new name change. I'm sure law enforcement against prohibition probably scared people. You know, it's probably not as open as law enforcement action partnership. Much better, I think. Anyway, that's just my.
It's a little more all inclusive.
Well, it's a little, yeah, I would say so. So we're waiting. We're still waiting for Mr. Jack to come on. We can read a little bit of hemp if you want to start now. Or what did you have?
I do have, we posted on this, it was just on the joint blog. It says Trump administration confirms marijuana legalization advocate considered to head FDA.
Okay, do it.
So it says O'Neill is not only a strong supporter of legalization of marijuana, he has actively worked towards it as a board of directors member of the Coalition for Cannabis Policy Reform, which helped legalize cannabis in California. According to Spicer, both O'Neill Biotech exclusive Bahahi Sernavisna are being considered for head of the FDA. Both O'Neill and Sernavisna have been connection with billionaire Peter Thiel, who co-founded PayPal and was investor in Facebook. He is also the supporter of Donald Trump and also supports legalization of marijuana. Having a supporter of legalization of marijuana or simple one who doesn't oppose it, leading the FDA would be a huge for the cannabis reform movement. For years, prohibitionists have brought up the fact that the FDA finds marijuana to have no medical value, and sometimes that could easily be changed with someone helming the administration who understands its medical capabilities. Although the opinion on marijuana are less known, the post he made on Twitter about the potential cigarette ban sheds a bit insight into his opinion. Deleted it. Yeah, all this deleting on Twitter and everything like that. This time, cigarettes, many other times marijuana, are really willing to kill people.
In the name of prohibition, appears so. So, interesting. Well, there you go. So there's some opportunity there.
It is nice to see, like I said, the support. And now, and I think that's because we are already, half of our states are already on board with this. So, I mean, it's not like it's going to go backwards.
And Mr. Trump likes money.
Yeah. And so, and this is such a trend. If you want, it's trendy.
It is trendy.
It's so trendy that...
It's good. I'm glad it's trendy because some of the right people are jumping on
right.
board.
Right. And it's, you know...
I want to know more about the cigarette ban, though. Sorry. Interesting.
Well, Pence doesn't believe that cigarettes do any harm to you. So that really worries me.
Okay.
With the cigarette ban. Oh. So if they're going to leave the cigarette ban, is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I wanted to hear more about that. But it's not up there, so we're not talking about cigarettes here.
Anyway.
We like weed.
Yeah.
Put your weed in.
But you're right. Like the money is there. The
Well,
the people who want it are there, and we're
and
over
sadly,
half the state.
And sadly, they're not looking at the health, you know, the incredible amount of health benefits that have already come across our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even with non-psychoactive hemp oils that have helped kids with seizures and different syndromes and people with cancer, and look at, you know, all the research that they're doing on Alzheimer's, you know, dementia, Parkinson's. It needs to be taken off schedule altogether. But I'm interested to hear what Jack has to say, if we can get him on air here. I know Ms. Clinton was going to put it to Schedule 2,
mm-hmm.
which gave it some sort of medical value, but still, it kept it in a place
that
was not.
Well, it allowed it to be researched for its medical value.
Yeah, but it still kept it in a spot with, like, what, cocaine and what was in, mm-hmm. what's in 2? Heroin's in 1, so it's up there with heroin
so
right now.
Sorry, I think it was like some of the ecstasy, psilocybin, ones that have been used in treatments of different things before.
Hmm.
Here's the next score.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is just going to be a wait and see because I keep hearing different opinions. Some people are saying.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It goes into the pharmaceuticals, our Schedule 2.
Yeah. Methadone, Dilaudid,
mm-hmm.
Oxy, fentanyl, opium, codeine,
mm-hmm.
morphine. It shouldn't be in that. It still shouldn't be there either. But, you know, I mean.
This is where we need to look at the scheduling of all drugs, all alcohol, all cigarettes. And it really, and I know people are going, oh, what? But, I mean, at this time.
Now is the time. We got a new administration. They should start looking at what's been used and what is and isn't working.
Right, and where cannabis is right now.
Right. Well, absolutely. I don't think they're going to, I would hope to God not that they wouldn't take the medicine away from the 26-plus states that have it. I don't know. I hear different opinions, but I don't know. I myself think it's going to stay, and especially with, you know, putting people in the FDA, DEA, that are not opposed necessarily to it. You know what I'm
right.
saying? There's a chance. And I think it's really come too far anyway. I mean, I would hope that people would look at the anecdotal evidence that's in our society right now, you know?
Right.
Because it's out there and that's what we have right now. I mean, yeah, there's research, Mr. Raphael, Dr. Regina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's research out there. It's just, it's not being done in our country. Like we need it to be, because we don't have the ability to do so. And I was going to ask Officer Jack about hemp as well in our country, and, you know, just aside from what laws are happening now, but I, you know, cause that's another one. That's another one that just we really need to quit. We need to, we import so much. We are just wasting so much time and money and people's lives, really.
Right.
You know, people are moving all over the country so that they can get help with different things that, you know, different states aren't allowing them.
Right.
You know, it's pretty sad
well,
to have to
like
alter your life that much and lose your family and leave things, you know, leave your friends and family behind because your state, your government won't allow you to use cannabis like we like. You know what else we like?
Puff, 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 puff. Puff, 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 puff,
into my house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's pizza time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. Piss. But shit. shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking, about to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks, Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up, but can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real, ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's, and then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, oh, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealthy? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs, it's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed, the people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Oh, where's the sound effect? Just start clapping, y'all. I can't find my... Woo! Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're back. We say Wednesday, and we have a... I know everyone's... Shh, the green room. Guys, keep it down.
Boy, we have a crazy audience out there.
This morning,
man,
was it the
we'll have to call security.
Yeah, again,
got three people here smoking,
going cray cray. Well, we did get retired Officer Jack on the line here, and he's been patiently waiting, and he's been trying to call in, but our software program,
our lines have probably been
off the hook busy. There's
true.
Too many people calling in. You know, look at there, all those red lines lit up. I thought the green one was.
Oh, the crowd. Look at everyone's on their phone.
I know. Look at them.
You guys.
Crazy. All right, so let's do this. Jack, are you ready? Okay, did you get your coffee? Are you there? Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome, Jack. Everybody, this is Captain Jack, but Officer, retired Officer Jack Wilburn. Thank you for being on Weekday Wednesday. We'll see how this works with it. We'll see how this works with the we just have to use our regular cell phone. So welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Jack.
Well, hello. Yeah, I was listening to you and tried to call you and couldn't get through, so I'm sorry about that. But
no,
I appreciate
our apologies. Yeah. Well,
I appreciate being able to talk to you people. Where would you like me to start? How about LEAP in general?
Yeah, you could do that, and tell us about LEAP and the name change and how that came about, and then how you got to LEAP, and then we've got some questions for you.
Okay, well, basically, LEAP stood for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and the root of a lot of these problems we have are actually drug-related, and that didn't sit well with a lot of the conservatives, and we really didn't, I think the consensus was that we pointed out a lot of the problems, but we didn't help much in the solutions. Hmm. And what we really would like to do is change our direction so that we advance justice and safety solutions. being, you know, having been an officer, I, by the way, was an officer in the mid-80s. I joined Glendale PD up here outside of Phoenix. And I didn't last a decade, but I got through a lot of it, and I learned a lot about what happens out there. And a reservist is like the military reservist. We go in and fill in when needed. So I did all kinds of jobs and everything, but reservists are certified officers, and they have all the police power of any regular officer. But basically, LEAP is a worldwide organization of police officers, prosecutors, wardens, judges, federal agents, and other law enforcement professionals. We're around 200,000 strong in members and supporters. There's about 5,000 law enforcement, 200 speakers, and we're in 80 countries. So that gives you some idea that, you know, we're not the only people sitting in Arizona knowing this is a problem. I'm not sure where you wanted to know where they were going next. Basically, law enforcement action partnership is going to have a target, and that's the first one, which is what you're talking about in your show, is over criminalization and over incarceration. You know, there are ways to deal with that if you want to go down that road, we can. But another thing we want to deal with is police community relations. Being an officer, you know, I was a teenager. I got stopped, harassed, all that stuff, too, just like everybody else. And, you know, it was the relationship between the police wasn't really good. And it's gotten worse and worse since then. And, you know, these problems are what caused a lot of the community relationship. And, of course, the war on drugs is a big topic. The war on drugs is a war on drugs. And there's also harm reduction. What can we do to, you know, kind of relieve some of the problems created by, you know, basically prohibition of these drugs? Does that sound clear enough?
Yes, it does. Now, you talked a little bit about the harm reduction. Are they going to start teaching that? You said that will be brought up in the education program?
Harm reduction?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. What basically in the Swiss, you know, in Switzerland, heroin is legal. And legal to some people means you can go to Circle K and buy it. You know, we all know if we think about it that, you know, just like marijuana, you can't go to Circle K and buy it. And heroin is no different. You go to your doctor, he has a problem, he gives you heroin. They work with you, they get you off it, they get you back to work so you can pay taxes. You know, so they have a very low drug problem, and they haven't had an overdose in a decade and a half, I believe.
Wow.
And
wow.
So it's a good way to move, but places that have done harm reduction, you know, that we know of across Europe, there's been dozens of them, in Canada and Australia. And they have what they call SIFs, which are supervised injection facilities. Yeah. And they're all over the place, except here, of course. And they bring their own drugs to these, and they inject in the presence of a medical staff. So it eliminates these people having overdoses and dying from that kind of stuff and so forth. And many of these that do this also give out clean needles and let you destroy the used needles. So that helps the harm reduction that these drugs are causing. Another angle you can take with this, if you want to call it that, is that is the medication-assisted treatment. And that's when doctors give you the medication, basically give you the medication while they work with you to get you off it.
Oh.
And if those are typical of harm reduction. I'm sure there's more of them. Also, some of the things that occurred, you know, you guys talked about what happened, what legislation occurred this year. If you look back last year, there's been, you know, the advances in criminal justice in 2016. You know, Alaska put a bill out that prison growth and reduced recidivism. Recitative Vision, it's R-E-C-I-D-I-V-I-S-M, Recitative Vision. And what it means is people that are convicted criminals to re-offend. So that it basically says, you know, they want to reduce people that have offended from re-offending. I know it's a goofy word, but they use it a lot. They're reclassing. They're also reclassifying drug possession as a misdemeanor, and they're capping prison stays for technical violations of probation, which is a good step. California, of course, says juvenile defendants be charged as adult only with the judge's approval, which is a good move, because we don't want to keep these kids, you know, you don't want to get them wound up in the justice system before they're... Delaware scaled back the three strikes laws and increased the number of prior convictions. And they also modified the criminal court before that required a mandatory life sentence upon a third conviction. So that kind of stuff helps. Florida has done a lot of that type of stuff too. But, you know, if you look, somewhere here I have a map and I probably lost it. But there's like 22 states that are closing prisons. Of course, we're not one of them.
No.
It's 2011 to 2016. There's been basically closures or pending closures of correctional facilities. And that's 22 of them. And, you know, we're in a position where we, and, you know, the Republicans, and I hate to say this, and I'm one of them, you know, we hate, you know, it's not just us, you know, it's the whole legal system. Their mechanism is to over-criminalize and over-incarcerate. And, you know, that's something that's our fault. It is not their fault. We run the country. We need to take control, and that's the problem we're not doing. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with the political side of things, even though that seems to come up a lot. And, you know, we're closing. In fact, I think it cost us $6 million last year to pay commercial group to run our prisons, and I think that's outrageous. But those are some of the ideas of harm reduction. Any other ideas?
No, it's great. We talked about the prisons and, the privatized prisons. So now everybody's making money on these prisons, and so keeping the crime rate up and making, you know, one of the number one used scheduled one drugs would be cannabis right now. And so if keeping on making it, you know, a criminal based thing where everyone just goes to jail for having it, you know, wouldn't that start closing down the prison systems here in the United States?
Oh yeah. If we applied our marijuana laws to everybody the same, and I'm speaking about to white people, to black people, to Latinos, our prison systems would lose 50% of their population just by applying the law.
Wow.
Well, so when is that going to happen?
It's me.
We ask the hard questions.
Oh, we do ask the hard questions.
It's going to take us to change the mechanism.
Yep.
And one of the things we need to change, and people need to understand and deal with this, is that, you know, everybody uses drugs. You know, when you know, you're using a drug when you get up in the morning and drink coffee, you know, et cetera. And so everybody uses drugs. They just got to realize the variations and the differences of them. Mm-hmm. And we're not educating our kids that way. We're not educating our kids about drugs. You know, when some kid goes, hey, you want to go do some ganja? That kid may not know what ganja is. You know, yet if he was educated, he would know that. And that's the problem with a lot of things, is kids don't make right decisions because they have wrong information.
Right.
And you can't blame them for that.
It's true.
And where was I going? Did I get derailed?
No, that was good.
No, that's really good. And it's a great point.
It was great.
You know?
It's really great. It made me think. I mean, it's like, you're right. It doesn't make sense.
I would like to sit in a classroom these days, I don't know, third or fourth grade, and listen to what they're telling them now, because back in the 70s when I was in school, it was scary what they told you about drugs and, you know, what was going to happen to you and, you know, all these bad things and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it wasn't until I got into high school where we got peer education, peer counseling classes, and then you started talking a little bit more about what the different types of drugs were. Like you're saying, everybody does drugs, which it's true, whether it's aspirin or coffee or tea or whatever it is they're doing or Vicodin. Yeah. So I don't know about the education system. I mean, I don't know who's handing out that information.
Well, until we correct the attitude that, you know, because there's the whole world out there that associates drug use with crime and drug use with guns. And if you believe in the Second Amendment, you can see them associating this more and more. Guns and criminals and marijuana and criminals or drugs and criminals. And this is the kind of thing that leads us down a false path. And we just need to quit going down that road. But one of the things LEAP wants to do, one of the things they support, is education. And so anything that's, you know, educates the public is good. You know, we were behind 205. Unfortunately, you know, we were outspent tremendously. But, you know, we did go down to the cannabis convention and support it. You know, I did a number of speeches about it. And I just didn't get to enough people. Really just didn't have enough money. But those are the main, you know, these are kind of the main topics that Law Enforcement Action Partnership wants to do. But some of the things that might be interesting to you guys that is in King County, Virginia, Washington, they have what they call, I say LEAD because I used to shoot and cast all the time, but LEAD. It's Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion. And what they do is they specially train officers. And when they get somebody they think is a drug addict or a homeless person, they know how to deal with them to get them into an intensive support program instead of throwing them in jail, which is what they need. Hmm. You know, these are the kinds of programs we need to do. And they help them, you know, they have case managers that help them get places to stay and eat and, you know, get them back on their feet. Miami-Dade has a what they call criminal mental health project. And it is basically, they take people in pre-booking. That's before they've technically been, you know, there's really any documentation that won't be arrested. And they evaluate them. If they are not, you know, they're missing a couple of cans out of the six-pack, then they do what they need to do to get them the proper help. And, you know, that's what I think the people want.
Absolutely.
And the advantage of our group is that we have all seen what this has done. We've been out there. You know, I saw a guy when I was in the I was only on a couple of years, and I went in to a booking assignment where they were going to do a fleet picking up a bunch of guys. And one of the lieutenants advised me that this guy named Tony was the guy who was delivering these drugs. And the lieutenant basically advised me that there's going to be a certain number of people and they should be terminating this by 8 o'clock at night. So we ran the booking, and one of the other officers I know, Jones, brought in a suspect. And about 45 minutes, an hour later, the lieutenant brought in Tony. And what we ended up finding out, because they eventually spoke and everything, was that Tony, who was the main guy, apparently something happened because Officer Jones's prisoner actually was Tony's replacement. So he was actually replaced 45 minutes before he was arrested. That's how fast, or, you know, these crime things fix themselves. Obviously, there was a leak somewhere, but I know they chased them a little while, but this guy was doing drops at a similar place. So, you know, you can't really arrest them. You need to get out of that mode.
Absolutely. You're just going to send them in, and you're going to help them get, you know, even sicker than they were before they went in. Can we shift topics a little bit? We have people, bloggers and patients, whatever, they want to know about their gun rights. Because what we've been reading is that patients are not allowed to buy guns. Does that mean they're not allowed to have them?
Well, you know, English is a language that you can imply a lot of stuff, but the words that are there, the words that are missing have meaning, and that's the way the law looks at it. You know, if he would have said you cannot possess a weapon, then that would have meant sales and possession. But he said you cannot purchase a weapon, since that's what the lawsuit was about, was a gentleman went in, he either used his medical marijuana card or told him he was a medical patient for, you know, during his ID session. And, you know, of course, they can't sell him a gun because they're under federal law. Federal law is prohibited. Mm. And that's what happened. When you go in to buy a gun, you have to fill out a form, and that's a federal form. And you have to swear everything's on it. And in one of the questions, and I don't remember the exact phrasing, is, you know, are you addicted or using any illegal drugs? And, you know, if you look at it from a federal standpoint, yes. If you look at it from a state standpoint, no. So the federal document, that's about all I can tell you. Answer your question?
Yeah, English is a tricky language.
I heard something about you talking about hemp earlier.
Yeah. What's happening with hemp in our country? Do you have any idea why we're not?
Well, I understand Tennessee's farming it.
Kentucky, I think.
They're making, what do they call that, hempcrete?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's supposed to last for hundreds of years, be waterproof, and high R value for insulation. So, one of those products. As far as Arizona, I'm a precinct committee man, and I was at one of the, it was, you know, a few years back when we had one, that there was a petition up to ask the group to legalize hemp so that hemp could be used, you know, commercially and be taught in ASU and everything else. And it only got a 10% pass vote out of, you know, 90% of them turned it down. And it's because of, you know, our government, which is one of the few in the world, I understand, that call marijuana or hemp marijuana and marijuana. Most places call it commercial hemp or marijuana.
Oh,
and our umbrella here is the cannabis sativa plant. So the umbrella covers everything.
Right.
You know, they didn't do this with, my mom used to grow poppies. But, you know, one of those poppies produces opiates.
Mm.
And you can't grow that one, but you're not barred from the whole strain.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but there's, you know, it's difficult here because they associate it with pot. As you said, you know, I don't know. When I was very young, I saw commercial hemp, and the sheriff stopped and told me all about it. And that was like maybe 1960. And, you know, today people don't know the difference. They consider them the same. They're scared of anything that's related to it.
Right.
You know, like you spoke earlier, somebody saying, you know, well, how would you tell the difference? You know, well, if it's growing in a field, part of the field would be gone if it's not commercial hemp.
Right.
That was a joke. Did I lose you?
You did. No. I cut out for a second. I had a message come through. My apologies. We were on my cell phone. People don't know not sitting there at the radio show.
I just made a poor joke.
Oh,
all.
Well, we missed it. We our sound effects are off and everything. No, but one more question for you before we let you go about we're asked this quite a bit about impairment while driving. And what training officers are going through, what equipment they have, what's happening out there. you know, right now I guess they're just using the alcohol test to cover everything from, you know, cannabis to oxy to morphine or whatever you're on, alcohol, you know. So what's going on with that?
Well, there's really, nobody's really developed anything yet. Part of the problem with the legislation that was really a sore spot in Mr. Montgomery's side was the part where they said that there's no per se levels, if you know what that means. It's basically like alcohol, the per se level is 0.08, unless you're a commercial driver, which it's 0.04. But at 0.08, you know, there's nothing you can do to say I'm not guilty. You know, you're convicted, basically.
Right.
You know, and they know that from you know, science knows that when you have a BAC that high, you're probably not going to do well. The problem with marijuana is they really don't know what to do with it. I've spoke to a couple deputies in the Sun City area up here, and they advised me that they give these people just a basically a standard DUI type test.
Right.
Of course, that's the local. You know, how they do it in your city or the next city over could be different. But he said before they arrest, they want to know you're impaired. And one of my objections to their discourse with the law was that, you know, I've arrested, they've successfully prosecuted DUIs that I've done for 0.03. You know, if they can't stand up and they can't walk, I don't care what their BAC is, they shouldn't drive.
Right, yeah.
You know, and that's what the officers need to do. You know, if you can't tell they're intoxicated, they're probably not intoxicated.
Right.
You know, but that's we don't have that measurement.
Impairment.
And here, I'm sure you know they use the metabolite test here.
Right.
The urine test. Of course, stays in your system for 30 days or so. So, yeah, that's a poor system. And, you know, they're, a lot of it is scared. But, you know, don't blame the police for arresting you. Don't blame the police for doing their job. The people that you need to point your finger at is the legislators. They're the ones that write these laws that cause the police. It's kind of like, you know, you get a letter that says the repo in your house and you shoot the mailman.
Right.
You know, it's not the officer's fault. Unfortunately, they are, you know, they are a military-like organization, and, you know, there's a lot of police that believe they're doing right by locking people up. But I have to conversely say that many of them cannot speak out and join LEAP. That's why a majority of us are retired. One of our officers, you know, that's a current officer in, I think it's Calgary, Canada, ended up suing his department because they wouldn't let him speak about his dissatisfaction with the drug war. So, you know, from that, you know, I hope you get the idea that, you know, there's a, you know, cops usually are cops because, you know, especially reserves, because they want to help people. And that's basically it. And that's about it.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's
from their perspective, they are helping in a sense that you can't get mad because that's what they were trained to do. And that's where I think this education comes in to so that would help out so much is them understanding, like you said, starting at a young age, teaching kids about drugs and what it really does. I mean, some of these cops are still learning from DARE. You know, they're still remembering the days of DARE.
Yeah. Those are what all the drug t-shirts were, where all the drug user shirts were wearing when I was an officer. Well, it was a DARE shirt.
Everyone wanted to be McGruff the crime dog. Everybody.
Yeah,
I had my shirt.
Yeah, one of the problems that we have that can help correct, like overcrowding and stuff in certain areas that, you know, I haven't really touched on too much is dealing differently with our juveniles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that we really need to do. We need to take the time and deal with the juveniles so that they don't end up hating the system, and that's not going to help. I guess I have a couple minutes here. Can I say a few things before we hang up?
You bet.
First off, I'd like to say LEAP runs on donations. We're 503 for their deductible. And you can go to LeapCC, which is our site. On the right, I think it says, can't remember what it says up there now. But there's a pull down, and it has donate, join. And the join, I think, or donate one of those, you can also put your email address in, and you'll get emails from us. And a lot of those might be of interest to you. I know some people that I deal with, and they, I forward some of that email to them, and they like it. Also, we'd like very much, if there's anybody listening out there has any kind of police background that is interested in Leap, go over there and send them a message and tell them that, or go over and volunteer and get some connections there. I'll try to get some information from you guys so that we can put some kind of link or something on your site, if that's okay.
That'd be great.
That'd be great, yeah, to have them be able to people to get to you. And
absolutely.
Yeah, we're always encouraging our listeners to get out there and work in the areas that they feel like they want to work in. And some is law enforcement, some is legal, some is actually being on the front lines. And so having that information for them to go to would be great. We appreciate you being on this morning.
Yeah, very much. Thank you. Sorry about all the technical problems.
Anytime you want to talk, willing to help. I can't drive to Tucson generally, but
Oh no, this works out great. A lot of our guests are on
is this
the number I should call next time?
What's that?
Is this the number I should call next time?
No. This is not. Do not put this number out there, please. Private.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna read it back.
Thank you for that.
Anyway, there's many more things that Leap does as a our law enforcement action partnership does. So please keep us in mind if you want speakers. We do that. I can even travel down there with the right amount of stimulation, but I have some medical problems. And, basically if I make a trip like that, I'm stuck overnight to rest up to make it back home. So, I'm sure we can find somebody that will give you a presentation. So if you're interested in anybody out there, it's not just you guys there, it's anybody listening. If you want us to come in, we do conservative groups. Many of us are conservatives. And, this fits the conservative platform. Don't spend money for the bottom line, and that's what many of them like. So, if we can get them to understand that it's not killer weed, then and we can move forward. And that, if you want to look at some interesting news real quick, go look at the NHTSA report from February of 2015. It gives you the odds of crash ratios between drugs. It's considered one of the best studies ever done. It was done by our government in Virginia or something. And they show the crash risk of marijuana being 1.09 to 1. So basically a 1-to-1 ratio, just like you're not drinking or smoking. So it's an interesting report. NHTSA is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Oh,
so their study is very interesting and sure puts a holes in a lot of people's thoughts about drinking or smoking and driving.
We'll definitely have to check that out. We'll post that. We did post on our blog how to get in touch with Leap. If you guys want to join their mailing list, please do so. It's a great organization. And donate if you can. And that could be time or money or however you want to contribute. Jack, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really are sorry we cut you off for the first half, but we'll have you on again. So you can share some more information with us and help get everybody educated.
If there's areas you'd like to target more closely, please let me know.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I could have spent the time we had just going over what I have in front of me without having to look at anything else. So.
Well, what you gave was great today. That was
perfect.
Lots of information.
Yeah, absolutely perfect.
Well, we'll see when your listeners quit watching or whatever.
They won't do that.
No. Maybe we'll
all
get
right,
one
you
or two
guys
more.
Take care.
All right,
you too.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Thank you.
Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Let's have him on again.
Yeah, there's some more questions for that guy. We need to talk about community relationships with police officers and education and training, which is very, very important. Thank you for tuning in each and every week. We say Wednesday, we love you guys. Sorry we didn't have Jack on earlier, but we'll do some more. We'll get some more interviews. We've got Doug Fine coming up. We have our 5-year. That's the one you crashed out on before. We have our 5-year anniversary radio show coming up. March something. It's the first Wednesday.
March 1st.
It's the first or the third?
Fourth.
Well, we don't know. We'll let you know.
We'll tell you next
week.
We'll
figure it out.
We'll keep you in suspense.
Yeah. Hang on. Hold tight. Don't go nowhere. All right. Happy Wednesday. That's it. That's all
happy
we got.
Happy Wednesday.
Sound effects are gone.
Yeah.
We love you. Remember.
Be smart.
Be safe.
And educate.